The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 9, text number 34, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on October 15th, 2008, in Copenhagen, Denmark.
So tonight we are studying one of the key verses of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 9, the most confidential knowledge, text number 34.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo
Man mana bhava man bhakto, majaji mang namaskuru, mame vaishyashi yuktvaevam, atmanang matparayana.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee, offer obeisances to me, and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. In this verse it is clearly indicated that Krishna consciousness is the only means of being delivered from the clutches of this contaminated material world. Sometimes unscrupulous commentators distort the meaning of what is clearly stated here, that all devotional service should be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Unfortunately, unscrupulous commentators divert the mind of the reader to that which is not at all feasible. Such commentators do not know that there is no difference between Krishna's mind and Krishna. Krishna is not an ordinary human being. He is absolute truth. His body, his mind, and he himself are one and absolute. It is stated in the Kurma Purana, as is quoted by Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami in his Anubhasya commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita, 5th Canto, Adi Lila, verses 41-48. Deha dehi vibhedo yang neshvare vidyate kvachit. This means that there is no difference in Krishna, the Supreme Lord, between himself and his body. But because the commentators did not know this science of Krishna, they hide Krishna and divide his personality from his mind or from his body. Although this is sheer ignorance of the science of Krishna, some men make profit out of misleading people. Now, there are some who are demoniac. They also think of Krishna, but enviously, like King Kamsa, Krishna's uncle. He was also thinking of Krishna always, but he thought of Krishna as an enemy. He was always in anxiety, wondering when Krishna would come to kill him. That kind of thinking will not help us. One should be thinking of Krishna in devotional love, that is, bhakti. One should cultivate the knowledge of Krishna consciously, continuously. What is that favorable cultivation? It is to learn from a bona fide teacher. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we have several times explained that his body is not material, but is eternal, blissful in knowledge. This kind of talk about Krishna will help one to become a devotee. Understanding Krishna otherwise from the wrong source will prove fruitless. One should therefore engage his mind in the eternal form, the primal form of Krishna, with conviction in his heart that Krishna is the Supreme. He should engage himself in worship. There are hundreds of thousands of temples in India for the worship of Krishna, and devotional service is practiced there. When such practice is made, one has to offer obeisances to Krishna. One should lower his head before the deity and engage his mind, body, activities, everything. That will make one fully absorbed in Krishna without deviation. This will help one transfer to the Krishna Loka. One should not be deviated by some unscrupulous commentators. One must engage in the 9 different processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting about Krishna. Pure devotional service is the highest achievement of human society. The seventh and eighth chapters of Bhagavad Gita explain pure devotional service to the Lord that is free from speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, and fruitive activities. Those who are not purely sanctified may be attracted by different features of the Lord, like the impersonal Brahma Jyoti and localized Paramatma, but a pure devotee directly takes to the service of the Supreme Lord. There is a beautiful poem about Krishna in which it is clearly stated that any person who is engaged in the worship of demigods is most unintelligent and cannot achieve at any time the supreme reward of Krishna. The devotee in the beginning may sometimes fall from the standard, but still he should be considered superior to all other philosophers and yogis. One who always engages in Krishna consciousness should be understood to be a perfectly saintly person. His accidental non-devotional activities will diminish and he will soon be situated without any doubt in complete perfection. The pure devotee has no actual chance to fall down because the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally takes care of his pure devotees. Therefore, the intelligent person should directly take to the process of Krishna consciousness and happily live in this material world. He will eventually receive the supreme reward of Krishna. Thus, in the Bhaktivedanta reports to the 9th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of the most confidential knowledge.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Savaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
How many times does Krishna say me in this verse? Six. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. That's another me. Become a devotee of me. Offer obeisances to me. Worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you come to me. And that's meant 6 times. So how you can possibly squeeze out an impersonal understanding of me, 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 me? But they do them. And I've even seen one translation. I was one time visiting a religion professor at Rice University in Houston, Texas. He said, "Why Bhagavad Gita as it is?" I said, "It's different from the other Bhagavad Gitas." He said, "Really?" I said, "Yes. I saw so many Gitas on his shelf. I just at random pointed him one of the Gitas." I said, "Bring that Gita." "Okay, now read. Let us see what is the translation for 934. And we were reading, That translation. It started off just the same. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, offer obeisances and worship me, being completely absorbed in me. Certainly you will become me. Make difference. That little come to me and become me. If I said, you know, come to me, come to hear my lecture on the Bhagavad Gita, they say, well, that's okay. But if I say, come to the lecture and become me, you might get a little scared, you know. What kind of weird thing is going on there, you know. Black magic or, you know, some crazy thing. You'll become, come to the lecture and become me. So, this is the kind of nonsense that's going on in the name of Bhagavad Gita. They use Bhagavad Gita to present their own nonsense philosophy. Prabhupada says, well, they want to present their nonsense philosophy, don't just present it in your own name. Don't do it in the name of Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada gives an example. He said, if you want to smoke marijuana, smoke it with your own hand. You know what that means? You may know. See, the thing is, people who smoke marijuana, a lot of it, they get a stain on their fingers. See? And when the police come to arrest the marijuana smokers, they look, oh, you have marijuana stains all over your fingernails, so and we'll grab you first and search your room and all that. So somebody very clever think, okay, let me smoke marijuana, but you hold it and I'll smoke it. So you hold it in your hand and I'll smoke it. So that way if the police come, they won't see I have marijuana stains on my fingers. You see? So Prabhupada said, if you want to smoke marijuana, of course it's an example. It's not that we're supposed to smoke marijuana. He said, if you want to smoke marijuana, smoke it with your own hand. Don't smoke it with somebody else's hand. So it's an example. If you want to present your own philosophy, then do it. If you want to say that you're God, all right. At least do it in, you know, don't do it in the name of Bhagavad Gita. That's all. I mean, it's bad enough to say that you're God, which is complete madness. But if you do it in the name of the Bhagavad Gita, then it becomes a million times more offensive, you see. That according to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, I am God. I mean, that's really getting offensive, you see. It's like Jimi Hendrix, he took the poster of Lord Vishnu, and he cut off the Vishnu's head and put his head on Vishnu's body. And he put his drummer and bass player on each side as the next expansions, on the right and left side. You saw that album? Yeah. It was a popular album back in the 60s called something like Axis Bold as Love. And they showed that to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said he's calling his death very near, and he died very shortly after that. He choked on his own vomit in a London hotel room. He was the biggest superstar of the time. And it was all finished just by choking on his own vomit, you see. He dared put his own, to cut Vishnu's head off and stick his own head on Vishnu's body on the cover of his album, you see. So, if you want to declare that you're God, don't do it in the name of Vishnu or Krishna. You see, then you're really setting yourself up for big trouble. So this is a very popular verse. There was famous commentator, Dr. Radhakrishnan, in a purport, in his commentary on this exact verse, he said that it's not to Krishna, the person Krishna, that we should surrender, but to the unborn, unmanifest, that is within Krishna and within everything. In this way, he gave comment on this verse, you see. So, we have to be very careful to actually understand what is the significance of this verse. And it's not that this is just Prabhupada's version of this verse. No. If you study Sanskrit, it's like I studied Sanskrit. I took one semester of it one time at the University of Texas, a very, you know, leading Sanskrit department in the U.S. I took a Sanskrit course there, and I learned how to read, you know, elementary Sanskrit. And it's very clear here that Krishna is talking about himself, you see. The word me is coming up again and again and again. Mat. again and again and again. So there's no denying that Krishna is saying, I want you to devote yourself to me. He's very, very clear. How they can make something else out of it, it's simply a cheating mentality. That's all. So we're very fortunate that we have such a great acharya as His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who has cleared all the fog away to show exactly what is the true meaning of Bhagavad Gita. So we will not be misled by all of these commentators. I studied other Gitas before I studied Prabhupada, and I really couldn't make much sense out of it. They didn't make me a devotee, the other editions of the Bhagavad Gita. The only thing I derived was when it was arise thou and fight the battle. That one I was able to. That made little sense to me because the material world at that time, and even the material world was really screwed up. And it was obvious to me that we have to fight a battle of knowledge versus nescience. That much I derived from the other edition. We have to fight against the ignorance. But what is the actual knowledge? That wasn't very clear. What is the actual knowledge to defeat the nations? That was not clearly described. That was never clear to understand. Prabhupada is the first one who has made it available, readily available for the entire human society to actually understand what is that knowledge. Janena tud adagyanam yesham nashitam atmanah tesham madityam vajgyanam prakashayati tatpadam. When one is enlightened with that knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything. Just as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. Now it's dark outside, you see. And if it wasn't for all the electricity, this place would be in the city, and maybe a few stars up there, the city would be pitch black. But when the sun comes up in the morning, everything becomes revealed again, you see. So when we become Krishna conscious, then that vast expanse of darkness known as the material world that we were groping our way around in the dark, trying to find our way through the labyrinth, through the puzzle, trying to find our way out. As soon as you become enlightened with that knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, namely the knowledge of Krishna, then everything becomes crystal clear. There's no more confusion about anything. You never become bewildered by anything. Even if it's the most bewildering thing that may happen to you, you can keep yourself fixed in an even keel in Krishna consciousness. Even if it's death itself that comes to you, you see. Or the death of a close friend or companion, you see. You can remain completely fixed on the transcendental platform, seeing everything is going on under the perfect arrangement of Krishna. As Prabhupada said in the final days in Vrindavan, he says, everything is acting and moving under the direction of Krishna. This consciousness is Krishna consciousness. You see? We have to understand that nothing is acting independently of Krishna's direction. Everything is going under his superintendence. The material nature and the material spiritual nature both are the energies of Krishna. They are being conducted under his direction. So we have nothing to fear at any step from anything. Because the loving hand of Krishna is acting at every minute. Abhay Charan. Prabhupada's name his father gave him, you see. One who becomes fearless by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. You see. That is Krishna consciousness. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah.
We're going to have a somewhat very simple question. That we hear this, but we have an understanding. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is speaking Bhagavad Gita so that we can become enlightened.
So that we can
become enlightened.
Enlightened, okay.
And still we find it difficult to follow his instructions.
Mm-hmm.
Especially this one, manmana bhavana to always think of
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that?
Why?
Yeah.
Yes, because we are still trying to be the controller. Because we're foolishly trying to be the controller and the enjoyer. That's the problem. Instead of acknowledging that Krishna is the enjoyer, Bogdaram Jagatapasam, and the owner, controller, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, we're trying to take his position. That's the mistake, you see. We're doing something which is very foolish. We are trying to be the enjoyer. We are still trying to keep ourselves as the center of existence instead of Krishna. We're attached to the idea that I'm the center of enjoyment. Everything revolves around me. We're attached to that conception. It's very, very difficult to give it up. Very, very difficult. Even when we come to Krishna consciousness, you see. The tendency to think, I am the center. Everything revolves around me. It's very, very difficult to give that up. That's why we have difficulty in doing that. We keep ourselves in the center. We fail again and again to remember that putting ourselves in the center is simply going to cause us misery and anxiety. That's all it's really going to do. Nothing more. We fail to remember that by putting Krishna in the center, that's how I will get the best benefit. When you water the leaves and branches, the tree suffers. But when you water the root, the tree flourishes. So instead of each one of us a little leaf on the tree, we want to dump all the water on ourselves instead of putting it on the root. There was a popular song back in the 60s. It's called Desert Pete. In the U.S. there was a popular song. It was a story about one man, he was dying of thirst in the desert, and he came upon a well. And he was so happy, and there was a glass of water on the well. Oh, wow, a glass of water. But there was a note there saying, don't drink the water, use it to prime the pump. Yet there's a pump where you hand pump the water. The way the pump worked, you'd have to pour water down to get it started. It's called priming the pump. It said, don't drink the water, use it to prime the pump, and then you'll get unlimited water. So here was a man dying of thirst, and there was a nice glass of water sitting there. And it said, don't drink it, but use it to prime the pump. So he had to decide what he was going to do. Was he put his faith in the note? It was a note from Desert Pete, you see. Was he going to put his faith in Desert Pete's note, or is he just going to drink the water? Well, he figured, well, even if I drink the water, it's still not enough to get me alive across the desert, so it'll just be a temporary pleasure anyway. But if Desert Pete's note is true, then I'll get unlimited water, I can fill all my canteens, and I can make it alive across the deserts. So he intelligently decided he should put his faith in the note. And he did that. He poured his water down the pump. And he got unlimited water. It's a very popular song. You got to prime the pump. You must have faith and believe. You must give of yourself before you're worthy to receive.
Who made that song?
I think it was the Kingston Trio. I think it was done by the popular folk group called the Kingston Trio back in, I think they were the ones who popularized that song. But it was on the top 40 in the U.S. It was a good message, actually. In other words, we have to, you know, right now we're thinking, well, by putting myself in the center, at least I know I can get some quick pleasure. You know, I can gratify my tongue, I can gratify my genitals, I can gratify my ego, I can get some quick pleasure right now. I know I can do it, you see. I can light that cigarette and feel something, you know. get a nicotine rush off that cigarette. I can feel it. I know. You see? And then what we're told by the devotees, we're told by the scriptures, we're told by the spiritual master that if you just, you know, just put that pleasure aside and take some austerities. Instead of taking enjoyment up front, take some austerities up front. You know, get up early in the morning, chant the names of God, give up meat, give up intoxication, give up gambling. You have to put faith in the person who's giving you that information. Is this really true? Is it? So, even once we take to the process and we follow in the principles, even after we're initiated, we still have to keep doing them. It just becomes on a more subtle level, that's all. We still have to keep putting our faith that by humbling ourselves before Krishna and Guru and the devotees, that actually we'll get the supreme benefit. There's a tendency to think, well, now I have a little position, now let me enjoy it. You see? You know, like now I'm a world-renowned preacher, I have disciples. Now let me enjoy this position that Krishna gave me, you see. Then I'm finished. It's just a matter of time before I'm, you know, find me in a bar somewhere, you know. So we really have to continue to put our faith in this process, even though we're not tasting everything yet. Even though we're still feeling, still having to do penances and austerities, you know, we still find it difficult to do things. I'd rather not do it, but yet I do it because I'm told I have to do it. I'm not tasting the full nectar yet of Krishna consciousness, but yet I'm practicing it because I have faith that in due course of time I will get the full nectar. So devotees are having difficulty, you're falling by the wayside. That means they're not having, their faith is weak. That's the problem. It's a lack of faith. Faith is the whole foundation of the process. It all begins, you know, Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Majjana Kriya, you know that list. Faith is the foundation of the whole thing. As soon as somebody's faith becomes weak, then that's the foundation. If you have a house built on a shaky foundation, it can collapse. It just means their faith is becoming weak. So how do you have strong faith? You have to hear from, associate, and serve those persons who have strong faith. And then your faith will become strong. Sangat sanjayate kama. One's consciousness is developed according to the company that one keeps. If you take shelter of the association of those who have rock solid faith, you see, yasya deve para bhaktir tata deve tata guru. Tasyaite kitita hyarta prakashante mahatmanaha. You see? If you take shelter of those who have unflinching faith in the words of the spiritual master and the words of Krishna as spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, just by the power of that faith in Krishna's mercy, which will manifest as a result of that faith, you'll have a perfect realization of all of Vedic wisdom. So really, you just one has to have that unflinching faith. What does it mean, unflinching? It's like the famous example of the royal guard at Buckingham Palace in London. You see, they're standing there. You can go up and go, "Hey, hey!" Try to get them to turn their head, you know, to flinch. You know, you can do anything you want to them. Go up. Of course, if you did something violent, they would come to action. But if you just try to joke around with them and play with them, you know, and try to get them to crack a joke, ha ha ha, try so many things, but they'll just stand there, you know, unflinching. They also have in the U.S. they have the honor guard at the tomb of the unknown soldier. You see. In the UK, it's for the and the queen, in the U.S. is for the, some dead unknown soldier. They have a similar thing, you know, the guard, that is the honor guard is standing there completely unflinching. You can't, you know, you hardly even see them blink their eyes. They probably do it, but, you know, it's hardly noticeable. They're just like a statue. You can't get them to flinch no matter what you do. They just stand there. So we have to be unflinching. That you know, any kind of allurement, even at like Haridas Thakura, a naked woman came into his bhajan kutir and took, you know, a beautiful young girl, not some ugly old prostitute, but a beautiful young prostitute. She took off all her clothes and said, "Come on, I'm ready. Let's go." He was so staunch in his determination, you see. And he didn't deviate, his mind didn't even consider, well, maybe I should, just once, you know. He wasn't deviated even the slightest degree by this beautiful young prostitute dancing in front of him while he chanted his japa, you see. Wasn't even slightly agitated. So we have to be like that. We have to have unflinching faith in the words of Srila Prabhupada. We have to have an unflinching faith in what Prabhupada has given us, and we have to just not let anything deviate us. It's simply a lack of faith. That's all. Any other question? Yeah.
I think then it's practically impossible to achieve it without deity worship, because how can you offer something to Krishna if you can't? Is that why we have deities?
The deity worship is there to help us to understand that God is a person. Of course, you could have a photograph also of Krishna. And you could, in the early days, that's what we had in the temples. You know, in our temple, we just, even the Dallas temple, there was a major temple of ISKCON at that time. All we had was a painting of it. There was no deities. We just had a painting of the Panchatattva. And they asked Prabhupada, can we have Radha, Satsarupa Maharaj asked Prabhupada, can we have Radha Krishna? Prabhupada said, not yet. So they were offering to a painting of the Panchatattva, the full, you know, whole deity program, all the artis, all the offering, getting ready for when we can have Radha, actually have deities. So in the beginning, the temples didn't have deities. And the temple I joined, the Austin Center with Vishnujana Swami, it was just a little black and white picture cut out from Back to Godhead magazine. That was it. That was the altar. You see, very simple. But we had full faith that picture, that Krishna was present in that picture. So whether you have a picture or a deity, the main thing is you have to have complete faith that Krishna is present. Many people want to get deities, at home, and I don't encourage that, because especially Radha Krishna. Somebody wrote me, they said, we saw Radha Krishna at the temple gift store. We really wanted to bring them home and worship them. Is that all right? I said, no. For Radha Krishna worship, you have to have a very strict standard. You have to, you know, you have to have Mangal Arati every day. You have to, actually, there should be at least 3 artis every day. If anyone wants to bring Radha Krishna deities to their home, there should be 3 artis. You know, morning, noon, and evening, you have to bathe and dress them every morning. How many people can do that before they go to work? And have the wife stay home instead of working a job to do the deity worship during the day. So, I don't recommend people just... There's a big thing now. All the gift stores are selling deities and making profits, so they're pushing deities. Many people buying deities and they don't worship them. No. So it's better to have photographs. Of course, one could get Gornitai, they're more lenient. But Radha Krishna, you should must only if you get permission from your spiritual master should you once take Radha Krishna home. Gornitai are more lenient. There is leniency there, but still one should have as high as possible of a standard for Sri Sri Gaurinathai. Any deities, one should have the highest possible standard of worship. But for someone like yourself, you should just have a photograph.
I
Huh?
I have some photographs.
Yeah, you should just have photographs. You're a student. It's not that you have time to do puja every day, you know, bathing and dressing the deities.
Yeah.
You know, you have to, you get your, are you chanting 16 rounds every day? Not even doing that, yeah. First thing is chant 16 rounds every day. Follow the principles. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah.
So let's say this temple, we are quite few here, and sometimes we hear maybe we should cut down the standard on the altar so we have more time for things like cleaning and...
Sometimes you...
We hear some suggestions that we should cut down the standard.
No, no, whatever standard you have, you have to maintain it. It's not nice to reduce the standard. Once you establish a standard, you should keep it. I mean, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they're very merciful, but you shouldn't, it's better not to do that unless it's, of course you can take permission from your GBC if it's really urgent. You can get permission, but that you could do. If it's really, really a dire necessity, you get permission, but on your own, I wouldn't just lower the standard. It's a very dangerous thing to do. Even with Garnatai, one shouldn't do that unless one's authorized to do that. Because the higher standard you have, the more you'll see this is actually Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. It's like we have, my wife and I traveled with the deities of Radharamana, they were deities of Tamal Krishnamana, and she gave them to her. So when she became sick and we were not able to worship, we flew a devotee all the way from the United States just to take care of the deities. Because we know we can't neglect them. They're real persons. They require care. So and now the deities have gone. Since we are going to Tallinn, we sent the Bajari ahead with the deities to worship them there because we had thought we would leave today. We had bought a non-refundable ticket for the Bajari today, so instead of losing $200 on the or whatever it was on the ticket, we went ahead and let her go ahead to Tallinn. So yeah, the idea is that the deities should not be neglected. It's not a good thing to neglect deities. Everyone should be, actually, not just the temple devotees. You should engage, actually, the whole community of Vaishnavas. It shouldn't all be just on there are many, I'm sure, second initiated devotees. Any second initiated devotees who are properly engaged in the regulated principles and chanting their rounds, they can also be engaged. There should be a schedule. Getting all the members of the community to participate. It's not just for the temple residents, it's a community affair. Everyone is coming and getting the benefit of the deities. They should also do some service. In some temples they organize. I know one temple, there's no one living in the temple at all, except for the deities. But they have a full deity schedule. And the householders, they have a householder community, and they have a schedule. You know, this morning, everyone takes turns. It's a great honor and privilege to be doing the deity worship. So there could be a whole schedule. You know, why just on one devotee or two or three devotees? Why not engage the whole community? We would like to, you know, make the atmosphere of Copenhagen more auspicious by engaging more and more people and serving Sri Sri Gaurinitai, the lords of Copenhagen. So why not engage, make an appeal, have a meeting of the whole community, and we'd like to have the deity worship going on very nicely and engage everyone. Have one head pujari who's coordinating the whole thing, maintaining the standards, and engage so many people in worshiping the deity. The deity worship is a great privilege. It's a great honor. It's a great special mercy to be... I remember the first time I got to offer... RT. I just gotten second initiated, and it was like the most wonderful, amazing experience. I got to go on the altar and offer an RT to Gaurinitai. It was just mystical experience, very wonderful thing. So we should remember how that is actually God Himself. It's a great honor and privilege to be able to directly serve God. So I would say, engage, preach to your own members, here, and engage more and more people in participating. Any other question? Yeah.
Like, there are many services connected with the deity service, for example, making mandals, sweets, and like that. Standard for making such things, like, should there also be chanting? Should you always hit the hands of anyone who's connected chanting the 16 or like
making? Well, that's a. So you're asking what should be the standard for who's allowed to do?
Like, I said, if it's a cooking for the deities, like, we have, it's just like mandalati sweets, for example.
Like, that's second initiates only.
Second initiates.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you read in the Prabhupada's books that to even enter the deity kitchen, you have to be second initiate. Just to walk in the door, actually, is the real standard. Even to go in and wash the dishes, you're technically supposed to be second initiate. Of course, we can be a little lenient. It's actually stated in Prabhupada's books, to enter the deity kitchen of the altar, second initiation is required. That's stated, and you read that in Prabhupada's books, it's there. Of course, we allow others in for others to assist. That's all right. But the actual cooking is, when Prabhupada was on the planet, that was very strict standard everywhere. And only second initiates can cook for the deities. Only, no one else. That was the standard, yeah. There was no question that first initiate or a non-initiate, even first initiates weren't allowed to cook for the deities. That was the strict standard. That means you have to train your members. Say, we don't have enough cooks. Well, then you have to elevate people. Make them Brahmins by preaching. Teach them how to become Brahmins. Have a Brahminical training program going, and you're constantly make dozens of Brahmins, so you have unlimited people. They're just waiting. When will I get my chance to cook the deity sweets? I have to wait till next month. Oh, I wanted to do it now. You know, it should be a great honor and privilege to cook deity sweets for the deities. Cook the Mangalarti sweets or whatever you have. People should be waiting. When will I get my turn? I have to be in line. Put on the line and waiting on the waiting list. Well, I'll have my chance to make the Mangalarti sweets. That's how it should be.
We're not quite there yet.
Hmm?
We're not quite there yet.
Ah.
We're not there yet.
Yeah, but the thing is, just have a vision of what you want to be, and then if you keep that vision of what you'd like to be, then it gradually will happen. That's all. Doesn't the tortoise hatch its eggs by meditation? Prabhupada said. So if you just keep a vision of what you'd like to accomplish here in due course of time by your preaching, keep that vision always there, firm in your consciousness. This is what we want to achieve in this community. This is the kind of situation we want to establish. Keep that, and then by that, and then it'll gradually manifest in due course of time. It will. It's like I try to envision the whole world becoming Krishna conscious. That's my vision. That's a vow that I took, actually, when one is approved to be, and one is blessed by the GBC that he can begin initiating, he's supposed to take a vow to flood this planet with Prabhupada's books. That means the whole world has to become Krishna conscious. So I vow that I would flood this planet with Prabhupada's books. That means the whole world has to become Krishna conscious. So that's my vision, my service, to live my life in such a way to try to inspire a global spiritual revolution. So, in this way, I want to be of service to you all here to inspire a local spiritual revolution here in Denmark, specifically here at this centered here at this temple. This is the ISKCON temple for Denmark, the one temple, right? So my vision for Denmark is this should be the like a chakra, an energy, a center of spiritual energy, this place, you see, that will be able, that will become like a powerhouse of energy. It's a relay station from Goloka, you know, the original powerhouse is in Goloka Vrindavan. This is a relay station. This temple is a relay station of the energy coming from Krishna, the spiritual energy coming from Krishna through Prabhupada. This is a relay station for that devotional energy, that bhakti shakti, for completely bhaktiizing this country of Denmark. So that's how I envision this temple, to be a relay station for that bhakti shakti coming from Srila Prabhupada. Now you all have to, you know, really become a powerful energy source here that can completely, you know, revolutionize this country. Yes.
I would like to ask Prabhuji, how would you define the word bhakti? Like, we have to flood the Denmark with bhakti.
Yeah, bhakti means to serve, devotion, or devotion means to give loving service without expecting anything in return. That is bhakti.
Yeah, but in the meaning, to flood the Denmark with bhakti.
Yes, that means to make everyone devotees, lovers of God. That's right. Krishna conscious.
But we need to give something first so they can take it.
We have to give them the seed of bhakti. We have to plant the seed of bhakti in their heart. You see? Now, how does that come? It comes in the form of the Bhagavad Gita, it comes in the form of the Maha Mantra, it comes in the form of prasadam, in so many ways. We have to plant the seed of bhakti within the heart, you see, through the ears and through the tongue, prasadam. We have to somehow get them to taste prasadam and to hear the Hare Krishna mantra, you see. And then through this means, the seed of bhakti becomes planted in the heart, and if they continue to chant and to hear, or they continue to take prasadam and to hear, then that seed will, that little tiny seed will sprout, and the bhakti creep will begin to manifest in their heart. That's what we want to do in this country, you see. We want that everyone should have the seed of bhakti planted in their heart, and then we cultivate that seed to where it grows into a thriving creeper, which will penetrate the coverings of the material universe and go all the way to Krishna Loka and take shelter of the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. That's the goal.
So we should focus then on two main things. Distribute more prasad and distribute the holy name on the streets, like going more to the people out than like expect them come in.
Prabhupada actually told us the most powerful distribution is books. That's the most powerful thing. So we want to do the book distribution, we want to do the Harinam, and we want to do the Vishadam, especially those three things. Books especially are the most powerful thing. The books are the most powerful thing. But books along with Harinam and Prasadam, that's the formula. And we have to have a good follow-up program to train the people. That's what we've neglected. We've distributed so many books, and where are the devotees? We have to have a very good follow-up program for the people who are getting the books, to train them how to follow the books. Yes?
Could one imagine that, for example, we go to laborers and for one evening, to
libraries.
Go to libraries. You're putting the books in the libraries?
No. Have topics there to tell about ISKCON and.
You can programs in the libraries. Yeah, that's nice. Everywhere programs, television, radio, libraries, universities, door to door on the street. You know, book tables is a good program. Setting up book tables everywhere on the weekends. Everyone should have a book table somewhere in the public, in the area where every devotee on the weekend can go out and become a weekend warrior, have a book table set up somewhere. And so doing in the U.S. and California. Every member of the devotee community, they have a book table and they go out on the weekends and with the books, and people walk up and they tell them all about the books. And everyone gets to preach and distribute books.
You can stand still and people come to you. You can stand still at a table on the street and people will come.
People come. You make a nice attractive table. People come up to see what you got on that table. Yeah, and then you can tell them all about it. Yeah, it's very effective. Not everyone is aggressive to be able just to walk up to strangers in the street, like our brahmacharis are expert, you see. But everyone can stand at a book table. You see, it's good, and everyone can have a book table and distribute books and get a taste of the sweet nectar of book distribution.
And have some prasadam.
Yeah, have prasadam there, cookies or sweet balls, Simply Wonderfuls or something. You know, until an invitation to the Sunday feast.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think 8:30 is a good cutting off point. I don't want to go too late. So we thank you very much. Raja Vidra Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jai. Jai.